where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. So hi everyone, welcome back to Critical Moves, the best strategy gaming podcast in the world. I'm Al, and today I'm joined by Tim.
Hey everyone, how are you doing?
And also by the awesomeness, which is Joe.
Hey everybody, I completely agree with you, Al. Best.
Best in the world.
Best.
Yeah. sorry, Tim, you're also awesome. I'll just to clarify.
Okay. We are awesome.
Absolutely. With the launch last week of Civilization VII, I thought it would be a really, really good idea for us to completely ignore Civilization VII today. because why the hell not? And talk about the series in general. So let's have a bit of a chat about Sid Meier's Civilization, the franchise which defined 4X strategy. Now, is that too much hyperbole, or do you think that's a fair comment to make?
I think it's totally fair. If you say 4X gaming, I immediately think of Civilization. And now, even now, what else do I consider 4X? Some Paradox games, but really, it's Civilization is the one that started this genre, and I wish they were the innovator still, but at the very least, they're the Death Star of the 4X genre.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I think there's two kinds of gamers out there, those that played Civilization and those that didn't.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so. I mean, it's Civilization has often been accused of being the series that spawned that just one more turn thing that we have going on with these kind of games, and certainly with my very checkered gaming history, which goes back decades, I was caught by the spell of Civilization II. I think it was with that just one more turn. You guys had that same sort of experience?
Yeah, it was Civ 2 for me also. I remember being so caught up in it. And then, I don't know if we're going to talk about each one, but specifically when they came with their sequel, Alpha Centauri, and you could continue the adventure. Oh my goodness. They blew my mind with that, you know?
Yeah, I think it definitely accounted for a lot of like sleep deprivation and got work in the morning, got homework to do, but just one more.
And before you know it, it's 4 a.m. Hmm. And you're still going. So Civ 2 was the first one for you as well, Joe, yeah?
Yeah.
So the first one that was not developed by Sid Meier, which I think is always quite interesting when you look at this, at the history of these games, because it sounds really, really simple, but the history is so complex. It's just crazy when you look at it. Tim, what was the first one that you played?
No, it was Civ 2 as well. If I remember correctly, was it not the one where you could go in a drop down menu and use cheats? And just click down from the drop down menu. Oh, I want some cheats. I want to add some extra units. I don't remember which one that was, but I remember playing that as a kid and as an innocent small child. I thought that was like the most fun you could have.
And now you hate menus.
Absolutely.
But I suppose that's probably one of the things which has always been a feature of these games. They're probably quite menu heavy, and I suppose every time that they add different mechanics to the games, you just increase the number of menus. But does that detract from the core gameplay?
Which civilization are we talking about here, I guess? And I think therein lies a lot of the talk about what was good and what was not so good in each of them. And I think that's a journey they've been on for such a long time, trying to refine it. And I think there's definitely some good elements in it. And they haven't been too heavy on the menu side, I would say, in general.
No, they're big on so much on your screen. So many things to look at on your screen that you have to know. And we're going to talk about Civ 7 next week, but that's some of the downside with what's going on.
That's news to me.
Hopefully.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. I want to make us talk about Civ 7 next week.
So how about we go, should we go in order? Because when we're talking about putting stuff on the screen, I'm thinking Civ 6 did a really good job at that. But are we getting ahead of ourselves? Should we start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Okay, let's start from the beginning then. So Civilization, the first game, was released, I think it was in 1991. So it was one of the first ever strategy games. And it certainly came out at a time where most strategy games were war games. They were all based purely on war and conflict. And this was the first time a game came along and said, well, let's just keep the conflict as part of the game, but let's build an empire that can span 1,000 years of human history. And I guess that was a huge move at a time where gaming was just in its infancy. Was that brave, do you think, to do that? Or is it just experimentation? Or was it because there was such a void, you could do anything, really?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the other games that were released around that time, it was all very, very basic stuff, and the computers at the time also couldn't handle much at all, and a lot of the design theories that we have now were not there at all. So it was difficult to do. I think it must have been really difficult to pull off. Like, if we're thinking about, and we talked about it last week, Populous, that was one of those kind of games around at that time. And it was all very rudimental. Let's remind ourselves, using the mouse was not exactly a very common thing, if it was a thing at all for most people, actually. So, yeah, very different environment. I think it's very hard to imagine what it was like at the time. And if one was making a video game, what you had to base your previous knowledge of video games in general off of.
Well, when I did my research on this, because I do occasionally look at the stuff we're going to be talking about, Civilization was inspired by a game that was developed the year I was born, 1977. A game called Empire. I didn't even know that they made, I mean, I suppose there was the Atari and there was Pong and games like that, but this was a strategy game that was released in 1977. He initially sold 2 copies of the game.
I would like to compare it maybe more. I don't know if you guys played Centurion, Defender of Rome. It was a game from 1990. It was also a strategy game, and you play as Rome, and you can send legions around to battle, and then you have like real-time battles. But you also have to control the empire. You have to control Rome. There's like battles. It's like also a strategy game from around the same time. Also very original for its time and everything like that. But it didn't do so well as Sid Meier, of course.
No, well, I don't think that many games did, but this entire series could have been much, much different, because when he was developing the original Civilization game, he envisioned it being something akin to SimCity. Except it was in where you would develop certain parts of your city, but it would all happen in real time. So the Civilization, the first game, which would have stuck through the entire series, was going to be a real-time game.
Right.
And then he made the decision to switch it to turn-based. So it's funny how you think about how that could have led to this entire series being completely different.
Yeah.
Because really, it's the first turn-based, certainly the first turn-based 4X, but one of the first turn-based strategy games, which spawned an entire series. We're now up to 7, as Joe rightly points out. We'll talk about that next week. But the number of imitators, the number of spiritual successors, I suppose, games like Humankind, Millennium, was Millennia. There's so many games which are based on that Civ format. And I just think how different might it have been if he'd have stuck with his original idea. But apparently he hated it, which is why he made these changes.
But I would say Civ 1 was very rudimentary. And I think when most people think about Civilization, they're not thinking about Civ 1. And I personally never played it. I mean, I was quite young at the time. But to me, Civ 2, even if we're talking about a young person now looking to play games, I would never send them to Civ 1. Not even just to have a look. Like, it's barely playable, I would say.
Yeah, Civ 2 is... They did so much more. It was such a step forward for them. It holds up pretty well now, I think, Civ 2 does.
It does. It really does. And it's I played it recently, actually, a multiplayer even, which is kind of, you know, crazy to think about. But yeah, I played it and I had fun with it. And I played like throughout the whole game all the way to the end. And, it's still very fun. I mean, it's very bare bones if you compare it to the newer games. It's basically if you take out all of the extra stuff, you have the base layer of Civ 2, I would say.
See, it's interesting when you mentioned play multiplayer because Sid Meier did intend to. Well, he did plan multiplayer for the first Civilization game, but decided to take it out because he said, and this is, I thought this was quite interesting. He said, if you have friends, you wouldn't need to play computer games.
Wait, he really said that?
What a jerk.
That's crazy.
How dare you?
There was things which were cut out of the original Civilization was multiplayer alliances, minefields, jets, helicopters, but online multiplayer. He was gonna do online multiplayer, but said we don't need that because if you've got friends, why are you playing computer games? And now they form a huge part of many people's social circles. It's like, how did he get something so right with this series, but get that so completely wrong?
Yeah, but if you think about it, all they had then were LAN parties, right? So there is something to that. Yeah. But people don't play with their friends. They play with their online friends.
Let's remember, Civ 1 is mostly pre-internet.
But like you, I mean, Civ 2, I mean, it's released in 1996, which is around the same time as Red Alert, which was, I know I always mention Red Alert, but that was really the formative game for me. But when I think back to that time, I probably played more Civilization 2 than I played Red Alert, because it was just such a time sink, and I have a terrible addictive personality. I just get sucked into things, and that just one more turn situation just really, really hooked me. But other than this series of games, there's been a number of copycats as well. Joe, what do you think has been some of the standout fake Civ games that you've seen?
So I played a few of them. I really liked Humankind up to a point, but I think my top pick would be Age of Wonders 4, maybe? Age of Wonders 4 was a really good game, and I enjoyed it. I liked what they did with the hero system and whatnot. Definite. Probably the best of the best for me.
Yeah, I enjoyed Humankind, and it was kind of nice to see what they did with it. It did things a little bit differently. But it wasn't a game for me to sink 1,000 hours in, as Civilization was.
It didn't do very well, did it? Humankind.
No. Even though it was interesting. It was interesting. It was like, oh, this is a nice flavor.
Well, Civilization stole some ideas from Humankind.
Yeah, they did. And I think that's great. I mean, it's a good idea that they did. Mm-hmm. And it's good that Humankind was around to challenge them as they did. So, yeah. Competition is good in video games.
Competition is good, but if you're just copying or mostly copying, is it really competition?
No, I mean, it's adjusting, right? And I have some issues with it. I feel like in the year 2025, having such a strategy game still rely on things like Hex, I think is a mistake. I think it's something that could be moved away from. But that's maybe for next week. I don't know.
Well, did you play Age of Wonders 4, Tim?
I didn't, actually.
Oh,
or not much, at least.
It's very different. And they had something that I thought was really cool, where you could enter an underground, and there was a whole second world that was just underground, and you could have an underground civilization and stuff like that. Unique take.
Like Heroes of Might and Magic, I mean.
Did they do that in that, too?
Yeah.
I thought that worked really well for this type of game. Especially because, like, a civilization who wasn't prepared to go in there just got annihilated if they did.
Yeah, and it gives an extra dimension to it, and it actually brings the empires closer together, because let's say you're playing with 10 empires and you only have the two dimensions, everything gets really far away from each mm-hmm. other. But if you have two layers, you can put them closer together while not feeling cramped, basically.
Yeah, you could be right on top of another empire and have no mm-hmm. idea. Like Skaven.
Yeah.
It's a different game, but... Same deal.
Very different game. but I suppose you could probably get away with a Warhammer based civilization clone. Might be interesting. But then again, is it not just civilization with mm-hmm. mods?
May as well be a mod.
Civ 2. Yeah, and Civ 2 introduced mods to the series. It was the first. Because Civ 1, as you say, very rudimentary. Civ 2, they had modding support in that, which was really good for a game from the mid-90s. Did you play Civ 3 and Civ 4?
So I thought that those games suffered from the typical 2000s games of trying to make things three-dimensional. And the time was not ripe yet to do that, and they look ugly as hell to me.
Mm-hmm. But they look better than Civilization 1.
Yeah, but worse than Civilization 2.
Okay. So it's quite interesting that I think that sometimes we can focus on graphical finesse as being the benchmark for how we judge games. It isn't the be all and end all. And just because they look ugly doesn't mean that they're not going to be fun.
Sure. But even more than being really pretty, to me, the atmosphere of the game, I feel like, is important. Like, the graphics don't need to be great, but I feel like, for example, Civilization 2, the graphics were not. It was not beautiful, but the atmosphere of the pixel art, I thought, was much nicer than that, like, early 2000s 3D generation where you see the polygons, like, very clearly, and it has, like, this, like, very, like, plastic, fake feeling that I really didn't appreciate at all. And I think that the vibe of it is more important than just how exactly beautiful it is.
So it was only when they got to, someone mentioned Hex, why are we still, strategy games still on Hex? It was only when we got to Civilization 5 that it went on to Hexes. Before that, it was Squares.
And another thing that they did is not only they moved to Hex, but they made it that you can only put one unit per tile.
Yeah.
And that was a big change as well, because before that, you would concentrate all your power on one tile and then move in. And then now you had to, like, have a wider battlefield and be a little bit more tactical about how you went about mm-hmm. things, which was controversial at the time.
I thought it was an improvement, though, because I never truly enjoyed the one tile deal.
Well, I think it's that doom stack mm-hmm. situation, isn't it? Civ 5 was, after Civ 2, I skipped 3 and 4, and Civ 5 was mm-hmm. the next one that I really got into, and really sunk a lot of time into. You're right, there was a lot of tactical nuance in how you would align your forces with one unit per tile, how you'd move them into attack.
Guys, I just remember now. I'm sorry for interrupting you, Al, but I just remember. You remember how I told you I played Civ 2 recently?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that you could stack units when I played that recently, and I would make sure to spread all my units around. And I struggled actually with that, because I had to attack cities and I had to attack them from uh-huh. like different angles and everything like that. I didn't realize I could stack units. Damn it.
Your friend was probably like, this noob, doesn't even know to make BeamStacks.
He thinks he's some multiplayer expert and he can't even stack his units together.
The way he's building his armies is beyond all reason.
Nice. So sorry about that. Please go on.
Interrupt with stuff That's like okay. that anytime okay. you want, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. Anything which makes somebody else feel stupid, Joe's all over that. You know? yeah, that's an interesting point when we think back to this one unit per tile, and that has stuck throughout the rest of the series, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Six is one per tile as well, yeah.
So why have we now got to a situation where, because Civilization VI, it went through its whole development journey with the expansions and all that kind of stuff, and I guess whilst they were finishing off Civilization VI, they were working on Civilization VII. Why has this game managed to reach 7 entries? And I appreciate, spoiler alert for next week, I appreciate that Civ 7 hasn't been that well received, but it's still sold games, and so did 6, and so did 5, and so did 4, and onwards and onwards and onwards. So what is the draw for this series? Why is it still so interesting to people?
So it's also something that I mentioned last week when we were talking about the RTS games and why they were not doing so well. And I think Civ does something, and you mentioned it just earlier as well. It's not just a war game. It's not just let's build some armies and crush the enemies. There's a lot of development in it. There's a lot of like, I'm going to make my city look nice. Oh, I'm going to research this cool new technology. And I think that a lot of people, and even a majority of players, I would say, are not looking so much to like crush their opponents, but they're looking to make something, to build something. And I think you see that in a lot of these games that people enjoy, like the Anno series or something like that. They like to build up something. They feel creative. They feel like that they're really making something. This Civilization does this well. And I think Civ 6 did this the best out of all the previous ones. And they did this really well with the city planning, where you have the tiles for the city parts and then you're trying to get combos working together. You build two cities next to each other and you get the districts to work together. And then you feel like you're really, you know, building something long term. That's also something about the games, is that they're not just like, oh, let's play for an hour and then now I've completed a cycle, but it's like I'm long term building something.
Not only that, but you can go back and play and be like, you know, how would it look if my starting city was better? What if I found a better place for a starting city with a natural lagoon or whatever it is, especially if you did some map downloads and mods and stuff, you could really get in, or at least I did. I would really get in the weeds on, you know, okay, this is a good start, but I could probably find a better one. Let's just restart, turn Netflix back on, and let's give it another go.
Yeah, and I think the one thing which I liked about them was there was different ways of achieving victory as well. It wasn't just a military victory. You had a scientific victory, which was the game where you would win by launching your mission to Alpha Centauri. Which one was that? Was that 2?
I think so.
That was one of the victory conditions. You could launch your spaceship and you won by doing that. So you could be getting defeated.
I know in 2 it was.
But that game, the Alpha Centauri game, was really the sequel to Civilization 1, which Sid Meier worked on at Firaxis, because it was somebody else who developed Civilization 2. Like, if you have a spare 30 minutes when it's minus 20 in Nebraska and you're snowed in, do some reading around the history. You know, I was blown away when I found out that it was Sid Meier and one other, I think Steely, who formed Microprose. And I thought they were just a publisher, but you know, they were formed by these guys in order to release civilization. I didn't know that. And if you look at the history of microprobes, like its modern history, it seems to be involved in every single, it seems to me sometimes, every single yeah. strategy game coming out. It's got microprobes, its fingers in it, you know? And it started back in 1991 with Civilization. You know, it's a really fascinating history, which I'd encourage you and our listeners, of course, because let's not forget they're here as well, to go and check out.
You know what I really liked about Civ 6? The technologies and the cultures that were researched, they were read out loud. The quotes, do you remember that? They were read out loud by this actor, Sean Bean.
Yeah, Sean Bean.
So good.
That was really nice. And the quotes were really good. And his voice is just amazing.
With that proper Yorkshire accent as well.
I have no idea.
He's, you know, it's just an English accent, you know. It's he must be from London, you know.
And he said it, he would quote it in such a like a calm voice, you know, like it was like very matter of the factly, and like I don't know. And when I talked earlier about vibe, I feel like that's something that adds a lot of vibe and like character to a game.
You really felt like he was narrating the story,
you and your story, history. Yeah.
I think it's fair to say that the production values that went into this, with having, you know, I mean, Sean Bean, he was in Game of Thrones, he was in the Lord of the Rings movies. Did you ever watch Sharp? It was a TV series about the Napoleon Wars. He was Sharp in this TV series. He's a very, very accomplished and popular actor. So they've clearly put a lot of money into the production of this. And it doesn't seem like it's style over substance either. You know, the games are still really, really solid games. Otherwise we wouldn't be on number seven now. If they were just trash with flashy lights, they wouldn't have the success that they have. Last week, Tim and I were talking about how AAA studios have abandoned RTS. But it seems that they haven't abandoned 4X.
Yeah, they keep thinking we can do this, we can beat Civ, but they keep trying to beat Civ by doing what Civ does and not innovating too much. And I think that's where they're having their troubles, is they're concentrating on the wrong things. I don't know what the right things are. Don't ask me what the right things are, but they haven't figured out.
Well, I suppose Civilization sells on its name. You know, it sells on that Sid Meier's Civilization name. You know, people, that there would have been thousands upon thousands of people who would have pre-ordered and pre-purchased Civ 7 based purely upon their experiences of playing the previous games. When you come up with your Civ killer, I mean, humankind was touted as a Civ killer.
I remember.
You know, it was the magnum opus. It was the one which was going to unseat the Civilization series and replace it with this new franchise. You can't compete with something as something with the magnitude that Civilization has. I mean, have any of them competed?
I haven't looked at the numbers, but I don't think so. I mean, do you remember, for a minute there, people thought the Paradox game Millennia was going to do it, and that game, instantly, they were killing it. I can't think of anything that really got close.
Well, I would say the Paradox games in general, like their regular games, compete more with Civilization than Millennia.
Probably.
But speaking of which, I think a lot of 4X games also go more towards space. That is like where 4X is very popular as well. And something that didn't exactly go to space, but it went that direction with Civilization, Beyond Earth. Did you guys play that?
I tried so many times. I installed it probably 5 times. And every time I would start it up, and just a couple turns in, I'd just be like, this isn't it for me. I even bought an expansion pack because people said the expansion packs fixed it, but just didn't do it for me. I'm like that, though. Sometimes I'll start playing a game and I immediately know I don't like it for some reason. Did you love it?
So I would say that I would rather play Civ 6 than Beyond Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time when it was like an extension of Civ 5 and Civ 6 was not out yet, I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was a good game. It gave some spice, you know. It was something else than the usual Civ game. It was something fresh to me, mm-hmm. you know, you're exploring a new alien world. The technologies were all, we're not talking about pottery anymore. We're not talking about currency anymore. We're talking let's explore science and some new directions. And I thought that was actually really fun. And I would like to see that a bit more. But then Civ 6 came around and Civ 6 was just a better game.
I completely agree that I would like to see that more. Like, I would love for them to follow up Civ 7 with Alpha Centauri 2 or something and try to make that connection work. I feel like I should just try Beyond Earth again because it should be something I would like.
I suppose Beyond Earth really was, Alpha Centauri, wasn't it? It's, you know, that was a game that took civilization away from Earth, and clearly Beyond Earth did the same thing. It's still part of the same series. It's just not set on our planet. But I suppose, and I appreciate what you say about the different technologies that you can research and things, but it's still the same game. I sound really negative all the time, it seems, because want something really, really flashy to come and just blow me away. And it mm-hmm. seems like it's just, you know, you take civilization and you put it on a different planet. It's still civilization, unless you make some drastic changes to the mechanics of the game. It's still the same game.
What was the civilization game that was in space where you control planets and spaceships? I have this vague memory of a game like that. But yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. And another thing I would like to see is, like I said, like moving away from the Hex game. I know it's very popular and I know a lot of people will disagree with me on that. But I feel like it's a relic of a really old time where they would go with first with a grid and then with Hex for technical reasons. Because it was simpler to make a game like that, and you know, and I think they stuck with it, and I think that's just a tradition that needs to die at some point.
Do you not think they stick with it because people are familiar with it and people like things which are familiar?
Sure, but I mean, like, people were familiar with pottery at one point, and we moved away from that too, right?
No, I mean, we still have pottery, don't we? It's still.
Do you store your vegetables in a pot in your fridge?
Look, I'm from England. Okay, yes, we store them in the larder. You know, no, you're right. We don't. But what I mean is, pottery still exists, doesn't it? We're arguing about pottery. Fucking
hell. It's part of civilization. It's one of the first technologies you unlock is pottery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Uh huh. Yeah, but everyone's just rushing to gunpowder, aren't they? So, you know, it's,
depends on which civilization you're talking about.
I suppose it also depends upon what victory you're aiming for.
I actually played a very unique way of doing Civilization not too long ago. I played Civilization 6, and a surprise to you guys. I mean, you might not be surprised at all with this, but I played a multiplayer online game with a bunch of strangers.
Surprised. Joe, are you surprised?
No.
I am surprised.
And to make it fun, because, you know, you're playing Civilization, you're playing with strangers, you don't want to invest, like, huge amounts of time to just get people to randomly leave. So what you do is you do, like, turns, have, like, a maximum of, like, 1 minute. So you have mm-hmm. 60 seconds to finish your turn. So it's, like, fast-paced. Like, you know, chess has, like, this, like, speed chess version.
Yeah.
It's a lot like that. And so you play smart. Like this. And you just rush, you know, you rush horses or something like that and you just run to your opponents as fast as possible. It's actually a lot of fun. It's a completely different game. It has nothing to do with, like, playing it regularly, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that does sound fun. No time to choose the perfect spot to lay down your second city. That looks good. Go.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it almost plays a little bit like an RTS, you know, like if you're looking for a fun, competitive RTS, but a little bit slower. There you go.
Which was the game, the Civilization game, where I think it was Gandhi would just nuke everybody?
No. Urban myth, never happened. Like, supposedly it was like a bite where Gandhi was at zero in terms of being a pacifist. Yeah, and then something would happen. I would do -1 and it would jump all the way at the top of the aggressive level. And so he would be the most aggressive and like nuke everyone and so on. But that's just an urban myth and never actually happened. It was never actually in any game.
But wasn't absolutely. Wasn't he set up in Civ 6 so he was supposed to be pacifist, but if you played him a certain way, he was actually a great warmonger Civ because of his bonuses?
No. Oh, well, that I'm not sure, actually.
I think
but,
that one
but
might
this,
be a
this,
thing.
This being a Gandhi being aggressive because of like an integer jumping up
That's what I read. That's what I read, was that there was something in the code where because he was so low on the aggression scale, there was, you know, one particular technology or bonus which took him, you couldn't go into the minus, so it took him right to the top of the list.
It's a fun story.
It is.
Critical
it is.
Movers, please let us know in the comments. Who's right? Al or Tim?
Oh, come on. There's actually a Wikipedia page about nuclear Gandhi. you can look it up, and it explains the whole story.
I think that should be the title for this podcast: Nuclear Gandhi.
I like it.
First, they ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then you nuke them. Then you win, Mahatma Gandhi.
Okay, I was wondering. Do you guys have a favorite Civ across all games, across all Civilization games?
That's a good question.
I can go first.
Yeah.
I like first. Gilgamesh in Civ 6. I like to just go wreck as much as I can of the map with war carts. And then I eventually find the game boring because I took over too much and quit. But that's my favorite, probably.
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because it has been a while since I played Civ 5. Bismarck.
Germany.
And I think it was the U-boat. Yeah, and it was, because they all get unique units, don't they? Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly certain that their unique unit was the U-boat.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
I think that's right.
Sounds right. Yeah.
And Germany had the really, really good production bonuses in that game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like them too in that game.
Yeah. Or of course, the UK. You know, of course, Great Britain. You know, Victoria.
You know, if you picked...
Very nationalistic of you, huh?
The right pantheon, they were good. If you got the right religion, they were good.
So wasn't religion... That was added in 4, wasn't it, religion? Because they always... I remember playing it in 5. There was always like a rush to get to religion and get the right one. Or it was kind of pointless having it.
Yeah, you get one of the first right ones or you just forget about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Because you could achieve victory by spreading your religion to your neighbors.
Which I never once did. I never once had a religious victory. I felt like it was so much micromanagement, if I remember correctly. Whereas a culture victory, I would get on accident sometimes. That one was.
Yeah. I guess it's always going to be a military victory, isn't it? That's going to be... I appreciate that this game is set up in such a way that military isn't the be-all and end-all, but I guess that's probably going to be the way that the majority of people play these games. I mean, it's 4X, you know. It's got exterminate in it. You know, it's... You're going to be going to war and you're going to be exterminating your enemies. I suppose it's going to be the main way that people would win, or the main way that people would aim to win.
I think I usually games. I'd finish so few games, but I think I usually won with science almost always. I like the idea of that.
And I feel like science was so strong as well, because with science you can do other things.
Yeah, you can rush science and then win by military if you want.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have one for us, Tim? What's your favorite?
Well, yeah, I mean, for science, like something like the Korean, were pretty good in Civilization VI. But then I also remember really like having fun with it. I really enjoy playing with the Scythians, playing military. Like they were really strong early on, and I feel like that was like such a underutilized time period. People usually like skip over the first age or two to get to the good stuff later. And then it was kind of fun. I feel like there's something that I miss in a lot of games is playing around these ancient periods. And I wish there were more games I could play during like Babylonian times and so on. And so the Scythians were really good with that. They had like a bonus where they would heal when they destroyed an enemy unit, so you could like basically keep going and keep being hyper aggressive. Yeah,
they had horse archers, didn't they?
Yeah, horse archers.
Yeah,
I used to because I liked war in the earlier parts. I would play on Epic or a marathon, just so we could have a bigger classical time.
Yeah.
So, anything else to add about the Civilization games? Do you think that this is a series which has got the potential to go beyond 7 to 8 to 9 to 10? You know, will they continue to make Civilization games as long as people are still buying them?
Yes.
Yeah, no, sure. But I wish they'd just like innovate a little bit more, I guess, yeah.
Wait till you can do it in VR, Tim.
Think about it.
But I'll tell you what we'll do. We will discuss the future of this series next week after we talk about the latest game in the series, which is Civilization VII. We'll all have a chance to play it, and we'll come back in a week's time, and we will give you our first impressions, the good, the bad, and the ugly. How does that sound?
Can't wait.
Let's have a mixed amount of fun.
Let's do it first take style, where one of us loves it, someone's in the middle, and somebody super hates it, and we can have a word fight about it. That sounds great.
All right.
Okay, but that means that you're kind of making me have to love it or have to hate it, because everybody else is just in the middle, aren't they? So
we'll see. Let's find out next week.
Yes,
we'll see. Spoilers. Okay. All right. Well, I guess in that case, I'll see you next week.
See you later, everybody.
Thanks for joining us, and head over to criticalmovespodcast.com. And you'll find all of the ways to get in touch. Come and talk to us. Come and tell us if you've played Civilization, and if you haven't, I'd be really interested in hearing from you if you haven't ever played the Civilization games. Come and tell us what you think. You'll find us on our website. Join the Discord. Thanks very much for listening. Take it easy. Goodbye.
Cheers.
Did you guys stop recording yet?